Good to see you all here today. Happy New Year to all of you. Glad you're here today. I know last couple of weeks, you know, everybody's schedules have just been jumbled. We've got a number of people that are traveling this weekend. Need to be praying for them. We're glad you're here. Glad you put aside this time. Thank you for all of you that invested in that wonderful brunch that we had just a few moments ago. It was great, wouldn't you say? Those are very, very good. I especially like that pecan and grape salad thing. Who made that? The Greek made it. Okay. All right. So it is a wonderful time together. Thank you. It is. We will spend the week now. They'll start today. The program started yesterday, and then the week will be all of these programs looking back to 2011. Be a lot of that going on this week. And I have a few reflections for you, but not today. That'll be for next Sunday. I want you to pay attention to them this week. I'm kind of giving you an assignment. Pay attention to what is being said and what the angle is, what the spin is, because it'll definitely have an edge to it. And just see that this week, the newspaper articles that will come out, the features on the news programs, the morning programs, the whole bit, that they're all going to be doing it. It's in the cycle. It's already in the hopper. Please pay attention to that. But today, it is the first day of 2012. And the title of my message I'm bringing to you today is Don't Waste Your Life. Any of you ever regretted looking back, I could have spent my time more wisely? You thought about that before? A series of events, things that were in your life that you feel like, man, I wish I had made this decision when I got to that fork in the road. I wish I had gone this way and not the other way. Well, today I'm going to give you a lot of scriptures, a lot of things to think about, but I want to bathe it in this one scripture from Romans chapter 6, and I'm going to be moving kind of fast through these scriptures, so you may want to just write down the address and you can look at it later. But in Romans chapter 6, verse 13, it says, "And give yourselves completely to God, since you have been given a new life." Give yourselves completely to God since you've been given new life. Now, as we stand on the precipice of a new year, who knows what this year is going to bring for us? Only God knows. And He already knows what the end of it will be. But He has given us a chance, just as He does the wonderful thing about, you know, joy comes in the morning. We just sang that a moment ago. Is that God gives us this chance to renew and to begin fresh, literally every day, doesn't He? We have that opportunity. Sun rises again. And boy, what a glorious day it is today. If you know, going out early this morning and, you know, it's crisp and the sky is clear, a little lower humidity. Man, it's beautiful outside. All the things the Lord has given us. But here we are, a new year. Now, don't waste your life. Here are three questions that I think would be a good way to begin on this 2012. Question number one. What does God want from me? Question two. What will it take to get there? And number three, why should I do it? What does God want from me? What does it take to get there? And why should I do it? Your life is too precious to waste even one moment. The Bible says it this way. Make the most of every opportunity. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 5. Is it getting a little cool to you? Okay. Hang on just a second. It's good. I thought the air was on. Yes, it is. The Bible says, make the most of every opportunity. You can't go back and change one single thing from the past. But from this day forward, you have a chance to live it as unto the Lord. And what will those opportunities be? Today? Tomorrow? Next week? Can any of you have even imagined that you would be in the place that you are today, 5 years ago? 3 years ago? 4 years ago. What things have come your way that have changed your life? It's been interesting to me to read, especially over the past couple of years, the Johnny Come Latelys of all the people who said, well, I told you that economy thing was going to be like that, liar. No, they didn't. You know, some of the guys I read, they've written enough stuff out there, they covered their bets from one end of the spectrum to the other so they could look like a seer when it came around. You put enough of that out there, you say, oh yeah, see there, I said it in this article. But let's look at your other article where you said the opposite. What they have a hard time, especially the arrogant economist, the people of the arrogance of the West that we, and well in the world, is admitting, you know, nobody knew that we would be in the place that we're in today except God. And the same one who knew that 4 years ago, he knows it today. He is the one who is the Lord over time. You can't go back, but man, you have an opportunity today. So the first question, what does God want from me? It's a good question to ask yourself. And I'm not talking about today putting yourself up against whatever religious mumbo-jumbo that is out there, or the expectations that people have of you. Oh, this is spiritual and that's spiritual, you know. I've seen a lot of super spirituals come and go in my lifetime. A lot. I've seen me come and go a lot in my lifetime. First and foremost. But let's answer that question. What does God want from me? It's not a big mystery. It's not vague or evasive. He's not one to cloak things that he wants to be that obvious. First of all, he wants all of you. He doesn't want much. He just wants all. All that you are and have. Let me read the rest of that Romans 6:13 that we read part of initially. Give yourselves completely to God since you've been given new life, and use your whole body as a tool to do what is right for the glory of God. Modern evangelicals, especially evangelicals in the West, have realized that they don't want to use the bullets that they've been given of energy, time, money, and all that to invest in things that aren't going to count, that aren't going to show up on the big board. They want to invest it in the stuff that man's going to look at, that man's going to celebrate. Think about it. Think about how much that we do. It's for the show. It's for other people's consumption. And not for the audience of one that really matters. The things that people never find out about. Man wants a stage. God wants a closet. Give yourselves completely to God. Secondly, what does God want from me? He wants to be first place. You remember who came in third last year in college football? Thanks for the compliment, Daniel, but I think Georgia was a little farther from that place. Now, you know, there's first and then there's everything else, right? That's kind of like the dichotomy that exists between God and not God. God wants to be first. Exodus chapter 20, verse 3 says, you remember this commandment? You shall have no other gods before me. And your religious people can do the best at putting other gods before the real God, can't we? We can make, the theological anal retentives, the legalist of our time. We can create a lot of gods that are made in man's image. You see, to get to the root of what that passage means, he talks about not having graven images but before you. A man can create a lot of gods, can't he? Pete Rose said it best. He said, number two ain't nothing. Another great theologian there. Number three, what does God want from me? He wants first choice from me. Proverbs 3:6. In everything you do, put God first. He'll direct and crown your efforts with success. Hold up. I just used the word success. Whoo, there is a word, a Western word, whoo, that is fraught with pitfalls. Success. Take the word success out of modern pop evangelical literature and what have you got? Well, nothing, because people are always talking about success. This is how you succeed as a Christian. You succeed in this way. Well, what does God view success as? If we want to talk about success, well, by the world standards, would Jesus have been a success? Think about it now. He died alone for you and me. God wants first choice. You see, our choices in life tend to show what team we're on. What do we choose when no one else is looking? Fellow that was invited to be a disciple of Jesus, he said, first, go let me bury somebody, marry somebody, or buy something. Remember that story? Remember that parable? Hey. But first, let me. God wants first choice. What is that for you? No one else can answer that question for you. And that's another thing we tend to want to do. We want tend to ask God's answer God's questions for other people. Well, why don't you this year concern yourself with answering that question for yourself? What's God leading you to do as you hear His voice? Now the second big question. What will it take for me to get there? Legitimate question. Maybe the church has been too nebulous about that. Maybe we use a lot of nebulous language, a lot of nuance, a lot of massaging things, one way or the other. Maybe we need to be a little more blunt about it. Well, let's shoot them straight today. What will it take for me to get there? First of all, I need to change my habits. Now, we're talking about believers in Christ, those who have given their lives, who have sold out to the Lordship of Jesus. They have become a disciple where Jesus is Lord. I am a learner. I'm a follower of Jesus. Need to change my habits. Galatians 6:15 says this, what counts is whether we really have changed into new and different people. You see, that gets back to the Hebrew mindset. Talked about this before. Hebrew mindset saw no dichotomy between this is what I say I'm committed to and this is what I'm actually committed to. What came out of my mouth and my heart, what I believed, is what got translated into my feet, my hands, what I put action to. So saying it, verbally committing, was tantamount to doing it because you knew that would follow. There's a oneness, there's a unity in that. You know, it took Western thinkers to dichotomize and trichotomize that kind of thing. You know, I can have my religious life over here, and then I can live like hell over here. And I continue to have this persona that is here. Where would our news media be without that kind of dichotomy for our politicians today? But we can read about all that stuff, always wanting, knowing that there's another side. I need to change my habits. Change what I do. Change the very basic things of my life. Not starting with the crowds of your life. Starting with the primary people that God's put in your life. Who are those primary relationships? How would they grade you on your discipleship? Let's not talk about prayers for everybody else. How about for your family? How about for those who know you the best? How about for the Walmart greeter? What will it take to get there? Secondly, I must let go of the stuff that's not important. Hebrews 12:1 says this, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily hinders our progress, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We start out with the race. God's the one who set it before us. He has a will, a plan, a special way of life for us that He's designed in advance. designed in advance. It's already out there. He's calling on us to strip off the stuff that's weighing us down. Unimportant stuff. What would God conclude as unimportant in your life today? Not what you think, or not what the religious people think, but what does God think? What's important? Here's a picture of a fellow running a race. Kind of like Dane in the play that we had. Chris, you remember that? Needs to run as fast as he can, but you got to strip off the weights. What's getting in your way? What's getting in the way of your time, the time you spend with God? Anything? The quality of it. The quantity. Number three. What will it take to get there? I must choose first things first. Again, Proverbs 3:6, in everything you do, put God first. He'll direct you. He'll crown your efforts with success. His definition of success, not yours. What are the first things in your life? What's the order of priority that He has given to you? What matters and what absolutely does not matter? Think about the things today that you say are important. Will they be important tomorrow? Then if they're lower on the list tomorrow, then that means they probably weren't as important today as you made it. We crowd our schedules with all sorts of decisions. And it's like we're trapping God in our prayer. So, oh, God, you got to come through here at the end. I've wasted 23 hours. I need you to make the most of the 24th hour in this day. It's kind of like in planning a worship service that goes too long. You know who always gets hung with it? Whoever's standing up here last. Think about it. Think about how we do the same thing with God. First things first. Remember the story of Mary and Martha? Jesus comes for a visit. What does he say to Martha? He says, "You're worried, distracted by many things, but there is need only for one thing, and Mary has chosen the better part." Jesus comes, and what is Martha doing? Oh, she's preparing everything. Where's Mary? At the feet of Jesus. The better part. One of the Proverbs that I like is Proverbs 10:27. It says this, "Reverence for the Lord adds hours to each day." Reverence for the Lord adds hours to each day. Are you thinking yet? Are you allowing your heart to let loose and let these truths of God's Scripture to permeate you today on this first day of 2012. It's amazing what will happen if you get the right person in the right seat. And you know, really, there's only one seat that matters. And I know, Steve, I think Stephen Covey, I can't remember, he's about getting the right people in the right seat on the bus and all that. I understand all that. And that's good stuff, you know, all that stuff. But really, there's only one question about one seat that matters. And that's the throne of your heart. Who's sitting on that one? Who's sitting in that seat? Calling the shot. leading you every day. Not leaving out the Holy Spirit. You know, God divinely inspired this word that we read. But how will I know which word to read today unless the Holy Spirit shows me? So it is this marriage of the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God and then revealing through the people of God that God uses in our lives on a daily basis. Another fourth answer to that how is I must follow a simple plan in my life. 1 Timothy 4:7 says this, spend your time and your energy and train yourself for spiritual fitness. Spiritually fit. How spiritually fit are you? Are you in shape spiritually? How do you train yourself to be spiritually fit? Well, God's designed His church to be a perfect engine for that training. He's given us the body, a body that has two wings. It's a public expression, a larger group expression, and then there's a small group expression. It's two wings, a two-winged church. We've seen that many, many times before. And you need both in your life because you need the most high God that you can see in that celebration as we gather together, and then you need the most nigh God who is near to you in that intimacy. You need Jesus who is both the Lord of all and the friend. You see, the both and of those relationships, you need that in your life. You need accountability. Not accountability defined by the world, which has always got a negative stamp upon it. When you hear the word accountability, you always think negative. When God sees and hears the word accountability, He always thinks positive. He thinks of building up. That's what the word edify means. It means to build one another up. Not that I'm coming to you, brother, I've got this bone to pick with you. That's an awful thing to say. How can I build you up? How can I build you up in the Lord? So you'll be the person that God's called you to be. We have that responsibility in one another's lives. That's why He's given us the body. We are the body, the physical hands and feet of Jesus on this earth. That's who we are as the church. And look at all the functions of the church. And He calls us to spend time in this Word, time in prayer, and praying for one another. Have we prayed through? And as I read, Solomon in before the dedication of the temple, you know, there was a time to stop praying and start doing what He called you to do. Because sometimes we can use prayer as a kind of divination that is not of God. I encourage you this year, if you haven't gotten in a life group, it's time. It's time. Time to be a part of what God is doing in the earth. Time for you in a simple way. And it's time to stop thinking this idea, what's in it for me? How about starting to think, how can God use me in somebody else's life? And maybe if they don't even know that he's the one that's doing that, they can't even see it. A few weeks ago, Lord called me to fast one day, and so I hesitate to even give you an example because I don't want to lose the blessing from it, but at times we do need to talk about it. And y'all know I don't talk about fasting a lot. But the Lord called me to do that one day. And He told me the cutoff time when it was. So by the time, as I'm coming up to the cutoff time, I'm looking back to the day. And the Lord said, Dusty, you thought you were fasting today for you. You weren't fasting for you. You were fasting for, and He went through this list of people None of them knew that I was doing that. They didn't need to know. God knew. God's called you. He's called you not just to receive salvation as a gift and to walk in it. He's called you to be a part of His salvation, of what He's doing on a daily basis, what He's doing through this body. And if this body integrates in the city of Savannah, as God has called us as a people to be here for this time, what great things He might be doing through you that nobody will ever find out about this side of heaven. We tend to want to measure things. Well, if you're going to measure, let's let God do the measure. We can't even see the effect of things for years. Okay, finally. Why should I do it? Why should I do this? Well, first of all, because Jesus loves unconditionally. 1 John 3:16. We know that what real love is because Christ gave up His life for us. God's never put a limit on His love. He loves you warts and all. Doesn't love you warts, but He loves you. Doesn't love you sin, but He loves you unconditionally, and He'll never stop. If we're going to be like Jesus, then that's what we've got to do. We've got to love unconditionally. Our motivation is because He has given to us this great gift of love that from now throughout eternity, we could try to repay and we can't do it. Secondly, why should I do it? Because Jesus gave His life completely for us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. He gave Himself completely. All of Himself. He didn't hold back. And save for a rainy day. Hear me. There was no plan B for salvation. We tend to want to live our lives with a plan B. God's not called us to plan B living. There's one plan. We either trust Him or not. Why should we do it? Because, number three, Jesus is inviting us. It is by invitation for us to live the life. 2 Corinthians 5:15 says this, for He died for all, those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them was raised again. Get this now? He died for all that those who live because of Him should no longer be living for themselves, but for Him. You see, it becomes this reciprocal relationship. He died for us so that we then can die for Him. Live a sacrificial life. He is inviting you to that. And the great joy that comes from doing that, and the excitement. If you ever figure out that you've gotten bored with the Christian life, then you're not living it. You're not bored with the Christian life. You're bored with the way you have corrupted the Christian life. Boredom's not part of it. It's exciting. I was telling someone over Christmas, they were asking me about what was it like growing up as someone that knows my dad and my mother. And he knows some of our family. And they said, what was it like? I said, well, my life was never boring growing up. I never spent a boring day of my life. Because we never knew what was going to happen any day. The way my dad had lived his life and still lives it that way. Every day, that kind of excitement, that kind of, the vacations we went on, we found out when he got home from work that day. And we left. And we went. It was an adventure. It was an adventure. I think it prepared me very well for the Christian life, because that's what it's supposed to be. It could be an adventure if we just take the invitations. And how many invitations are we getting each day to live out the life? Somebody that stops you. I'm at a funeral the other day and trying to get away. I'm in a hurry to get to the next thing. And this guy comes out of nowhere and says, hey, buddy, he's the maintenance guy for the church building that we were there. And he proceeds to embark on this 20-minute conversation about the gospel with me. You know, and I'm saying, Lord, I've got to get away. But he needed somebody to listen to him. He was excited about Jesus after the funeral, and I was in a hurry. You never know what adventure is going to come to you of living out the life of Christ. Finally, Jesus offering me a way that I can make my life count. 2 Corinthians 6:1 says this, Companion, as we are in this work with you, we beg you, please don't squander one bit of the marvelous life God has given. This is no pyramid scheme that God has given us. This is the ultimate in insider training. God has given you a tip about investing that will reap benefits beyond what you can imagine. Imagine if you knew tomorrow what the stock market was going to do in a week. Hey, big dog, Kenny, how much money could you make? A lot. Spiritually speaking, you already know God has told you what He will do. He just wants you put your commitment down and say, yeah, I'm willing to take the chance on you. Does God have the power to make this happen? Yes, He does. Don't waste your life. Don't waste your life. And don't waste the opportunity God has given you for your life today. What will it be in 2012? He's given you a chance to make it count. And be able to at last put your head on the pillow and say, Lord, I'm at peace with you. And with what you're doing in my life. Do you have that kind of peace right now? I'm not talking about a conjured up kind of peace. I'm talking about real peace. Where you've actually heard God say to you, well done, good and faithful servant. That's the peace that comes when you hear the voice of God. What's He speaking to you today? Let's bow our heads. Lord, We come to you on this first day of this new year. Lord, this message that you put on my heart today for us. God, I'm trusting this message that the Holy Spirit of God will do that translation and will bring it to the hearts of God's people. Lord, speak now. Come in your still small voice today. May we hear you clearly. The altar's open if you want to come and pray. There are people around who are willing to pray with you. This is your time. First day of 2012 might be a good day to pray. Thank you. glad you've been here today. The wonderful thing about the waste of the past is God can separate it as far as the east is from the west. And it is the past. Thank God it's the past. It's done through His forgiveness, through the shed blood of Jesus. It makes us new, makes everything new. It's a wonderful gift, a joy that we can walk in. The other day, I was talking to someone out the store somewhere. I remember what, and they were telling me how much they loved Jesus. And you know what? They just were not convincing me. You know, because it just looked like they were in pain. You know, and the Jesus I serve, you know, he releases fists and makes them into hands of praise. And he loosens up a faith so that it can do the thing that it's meant to do, and that's to smile. It takes so much less energy to smile than it does to frown, and for the joy of the Lord to be upon our lives. That's going to be my prayer for you today as you leave here. The joy of the Lord, not some plasticky, you know, put on, you know, manufactured by man stuff, but the real stuff that you don't even have to think about. It just happens. The joy of the Lord. May that be a blessing to you today. We'd like to get those cards from you today. If you have an offering to bring, there's a basket in the back and up front. And make sure you put out the fires before they catch something on fire over there before we leave today. Happy New Year. All right. Well, let's try this again. Happy New Year. All right. How about Happy New Year, St. Dusty? Wait a second now. I'm a saint, aren't I? I'm a saint. Who are the saints? We are the saints. That's right. Let's try it again. Happy New Year, all you saints. There you go. See, you thought I was going to trick you.